Hi, everyone.
I'm Nicole.
And I'm Crystal. Welcome back to Las Brujas and Friends podcast.
A podcast where we talk about international stories, tales, legends, and myths.
Sprinkled with true crime, extraterrestrial, and the like.
These accounts have been passed down through family and friends.
We're sharing these stories to keep them going.
And we want to continue to pass them down for culture, fascination, and for you guys to feel the same fear we felt when we heard them.
This is a disclosure. We're not professionals. We're not historians. We just love everything scary.
On today's episode, we're exploring legends in Mexico.
Okay, legends in Mexico. My story is going to be about the legendary La Llorona. Have you heard of La Llorona before?
I have, through friends and cousins.
How many versions of this story have you heard?
Because when I was twisted and turned all over.
All over. When I was researching this story, there's so many versions. I don't know. It's just weird. I don't know why there's so many versions, because at the end, I think with most folklore, folk tales or whatever, they all just end up being a lesson for children.
It was more of a punishment because La Llorona was going to take you away.
So the legend of La Llorona has been around for hundreds of years. And like we said earlier, it's used to teach children to behave, or La Llorona will get you. La Llorona, translated to English, is the Weeping Woman. And recently, I don't know how recently. How recently was this movie released?
This past summer.
Was it this summer?
Yeah.
Have you seen it? Summer.
Nope, I have not.
I have not seen it either.
I don't want it to disgrace my fear that I've had instilled for many years.
Yeah, I love scary movies, but I don't love them because I don't like jump scares. Mm-hmm. I don't like like that one on the trailer when the kids are in the back of the car and then the window starts rolling down and it's like it's not the automatic window, but it's the handle and you just hear... And then she's at the window. Uh-huh. I hate that. I don't need that in my life. I love scary stories, but I do not like jump scares in movies. There's so many versions of the story, but the thing that stays the same for all of them is that she was a very beautiful woman. Her name is Maria, and she comes from a very poor town. Oh, I have some juicy personal details of La Llorona that I just found out literally like 30 minutes ago, but it is insane. But I'll share it after I tell all the facts, and I'm doing air quotes.
Fact checks.
Facts. Okay, so La Llorona, or Maria. We're going to call her Maria because she has a name. The two versions that I see the most is that she was a very beautiful woman. And one day she was out in the town buying stuff, I guess. I don't know what she was doing. She was out in the town and she ended up seeing a man, a very wealthy man, a good looking man. He was wealthy. Somebody that she, I guess, was not meant to be with, but it just so happened that they crossed paths. And he ended up liking her. She was the most beautiful woman in the town that she was in, and they got together and she got pregnant and she had two kids by him. And his father found out, and his father or his family told him that he is not supposed to be with somebody like that, that comes from a poor town, because he needs to marry somebody with money. And he stopped seeing Maria. He never talked to her again. He pretty much just ghosted her, and she was upset about it. She was heartbroken. And one day this guy came back into the town with another woman, and she was enraged.
Hell yeah.
She was pissed. And in her rage, she threw her children in the river. And she threw the children in the river, and she almost immediately regretted doing it, because those are her children. Just because they're his offspring doesn't mean they're not hers. And I guess she regretted it. And she went into the river to try and save them, but they were already gone. And she ended up of course, there's so many versions that she either hit her head and died in the water, but either way, she pretty much drowned in the river with her children.
Yeah. After finding out he's with another woman, I'd be pretty upset myself. But I wouldn't throw my kids out.
Well, she was really pissed. She threw her kids in that river. And okay, so she threw her kids in the river. She went after them. And since she did this in the wrong way, or... for the wrong reasons. Her spirit got stuck at this river and she is heard of being by this river at night, and she cries for her children that she killed. The other version, before I get into her capturing children, the other version was that she was mentally ill and the man pissed her off again. It doesn't really say why he pissed her off for like all the other versions, but a lot of people say that she was mentally ill and she threw her children into the river for various reasons. She was mad. She was just having psychosis. It's just so many different versions, but she threw the children into the river and she regretted it, which is kind of coincides with all the other stories. And she knew her children died. She didn't throw herself in there yet. She knew her children died and she was crying by the river. And it's said that she's crying, "Ay, mis hijos." And that's what you hear her crying. And then she tried to go into the river, save them, and she drowned.
Yes.
So many versions as to why she did it. But the same storyline is she threw her children into this river. She went in after them and she also died, or she perished with them. So the scary part of it is, because that's just like the story, right? That's just a really sad story. The scary part is that she is known, her spirit is known to live by this river or be trapped by this river. And she cries at the side of this river, crying for her children. And if people hear her crying and they get curious and they want to go up to her, right? She's this sad lady by a river crying, "Ay, mis hijos." So, and for anybody who doesn't know what that means, "Oh, my children." So, of course, I think like even me not thinking, or maybe if I didn't know La Llorona, I would probably, if I heard somebody screaming, "Oh, my children, ay, mis hijos," I would probably be like, "Hey, is everything all right?"
Yeah, I would definitely be curious to go look and see what's going on, especially a woman crying. You're obviously going to be accustomed to trying to figure out, well, where is it coming from?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's crying. And then if for her to be saying, "Ay, mis hijos," you know, you want to go help her. Mm-hmm. A good Samaritan coming by to help. So that's how she lures people in. And when she lures in children, I'm sure she lures in adults. But I think, I don't know, I guess she kind of just kills the adults. But the whole point of her crying is her luring in children. And when she sees the children, she thinks they're her children because she's crying for her kids. And if kids come, she thinks they're her kids. And when she finds out or realizes that they are not her children, she throws those children into the river. So there's the scary part. And this is where the lesson comes from, right? Like the Mexican, if you don't listen to me, La Llorona's going to come and get you.
And for me, I had heard it where she would not only be by the river, but she was it was told where she would be coming from trees. Like you would see her go from bounce off from trees to trees with the wind. So stories that I have heard with her being dressed in all black. I don't know if
black. Usually she's dressed in all white in these stories.
That's where the versions
that I saw. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. She bounces on trees. Mm-hmm. That's freaky.
She's going to come for you.
She's going to be bouncing off those trees. Okay. So that's the story of La Llorona. It's sad because if it really was psychosis or some sort of mental breakdown, that's kind of sad, you know? And okay, so here is the juicy details that I just found out today. My Mexican side comes from my father, and I've gone to Mexico with him, I think, 3 times in my life. And he told me today that he was told this story as a child, and he said he was first told this story when he was about 3 or 4 years old. And La Llorona, or Maria, supposedly was from this town, his town. And the water he would go by, the river that he would go by, or at least when he said he was about seven or eight years old, he'd be out in the street, in the town, whatever, with his friends, and they would hear her crying. They would hear her crying by
That's
the river.
Crazy.
And they would run home because they knew the story of La Llorona.
I'm out.
So that was really crazy. What's even crazier is this town that my dad is from. He took me to this town, and apparently I was at this river where La Llorona killed her kids and herself.
No way.
Yes. I was there and it freaks me out. So I'm like, what? I didn't know I was so close.
Hey, you want to go to this river?
Oh, why? By the way, La Llorona's there. She died. She perished.
Why did my dad take me to this river? And you know what? He never told me the story of La Llorona.
Really?
He never told me. So I don't know if he didn't tell me on purpose because he didn't want me to get scared.
Yeah.
Or he wanted me to find out on my own. I don't know.
It's funny that you were actually calling him to see if he had any stories off of that. And then for him to say, oh, yeah, well, by the way, you know, that river you were at, that you took a picture by.
Mm-hmm. You've been there.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was right there.
I took you to the Death River. And he said the story, the version he heard growing up was that she was mentally ill. And I mean, they use the story for him as well. Don't be out late at night. If you hear the woman crying, don't go to the river. And if you don't listen to us, La Llorona will get you.
That is some scary.
Mm-hmm. It's freaky. And then this town is also where he told me another scary story about los niños chiquitos.
Ooh.
Which means the small children, but we'll talk about that later. Because what story do you have for us today?
The story that I have for you guys is from Mexican descent, but it also comes around with Latin and Central American stories. It's Los Duendes. And with Duendes, in English, it's considered a house elf or a gnome.
A gnome, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A garden gnome. So yep. For those who don't, I don't know, there was a movie called Romeo and Juliet. It was a kid's movie.
Think of it this way. Think of it as Smeagol from Lord of the Rings, because it's supposed to be depicted as a humanoid, a mythical humanoid. It's supposed to look like us, but be in smaller form. Their average height or size is from 2 feet to 3 feet. So I know when I was looking up information, there is a story from Mayan descent. They were called Alus. And with them, that was more of an elf that could be either good or bad. And depending on the spirit, the type of spirit that you had with Mayan culture, if they would ask for an offering and you declined them in asking for it, you were either cursed or they would give you gifts. You would
That's
be
rude.
You know, given
Why
gifts.
Why are they cursing you? Because you don't want to give them something.
Right? So when I was doing more soul searching for these duendes, for Guam and Belize, they would kidnap kids. So for los duendes in Guam and Belize, if you misbehaved, they would kidnap you. Now with Portugal, these were elves that had hats. They were red hats and they would stand straight up. With the Philippines, the duendes had lived in caves. So for Mexico, they lived in the jungle or in the forest. And as kids, what you would do to not listen to your mom with whatever you needed to do, these duendes would play with you and be very mischievous. Mm. So they would lure you into the forest. And as kids, because there's so much nature
fascination,
out there.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. They're out there luring the kids to play with them.
Yeah.
But they would also keep you there away if it got too dark and you didn't realize what was going on. They would capture you and have you be there, you know.
Oh my God. It reminds me of this is a story from when we were really little. It was like the little elves that would, they captured that one giant and then they tied him down with all the ropes.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
So with these elves, the duendes, the food source that they would have would be figs. And then they mainly lived in bushes. So there was good duendes and bad duendes. The good duendes protected their, they protected their animals. And if you were caught either, you know, stealing eggs from birds or killing too many animals, they would punish you. Mind you, these duendes had no thumbs. So when they would capture
you, they didn't have thumbs?
No, they had no thumbs.
Ew-y.
So if you were captured, in order for you to be released, the saying was to put your thumb inside your hand to hide them. And then they would forget that you were not
God.
A child and release you.
That's crazy. So there was a trick to escape?
Mm-hmm. That was your trick right there. And then, of course, their language. The language that the duendes spoke was not of any dialect that we could understand. Children were able to see them. Adults were not really able to see them unless they were intoxicated or, under some type of medication or drugs.
So you couldn't have any inhibitions.
Yes. And these duendes were actually naked.
They were naked. Wait, I thought they had pointy hats.
They had a pointy hat. So in Portugal, they had pointy hats. But for most of them, they either were covered with a long beard or long hair. So they were just, think of it as elves, as little gnomes, and just covered all the way down, completely naked.
It's crazy how a gnome can be a little garden gnome with a blue jacket and a red hat in your garden, or it can be a little evil naked gnome with a pointy hat trying to capture you.
And in some of the research that I did find, they had teeth that had, like, they looked as if they were sharp shark teeth. Yes. So when they would smile or laugh. I had somebody tell me a story of a duende that with her little girls, while they were sleeping, these little girls would have their hair tied up in braids, braided all the way to the front of their headboard. So these duendes would play with the kids at night. Wait
a
minute,
this is a real story you
heard? Yes.
Oh my God.
So they would braid their hair to the headboard, and at this headboard, when they would wake up, the kids would wake up and have their head stuck to the headboard.
That's creepy.
Yeah. There's another tale that I did see that there was a motorist that had a long day at work, and he was riding home in the forest, and on the side of the road, he did see somebody holding fish. So the duende had asked this man for a ride. Mind you, he's holding his shoulders, holding the fish hand in hand. The motorist did feel his grip while driving, but in the end, when he went to look back to see the duende, it had disappeared.
Ew, no.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, so wait. How do we know if it's an evil duende or a good duende?
When I was looking in the Philippines, they were either considered black or white. White would mean a good house elf, where they would help cure any type of disease, whether it was, you know, you being sick or something mental. The black ones set more of a curse. In Mexico, 80% of the people that live there are Catholic, so they are very religious, and they do believe in the supernatural. So with that being said, duendes were believed. I know I was looking up clips and videos, and a lot of people, when these videos are filmed off of cell phones, obviously the technology isn't there. They think a lot of it is CGI, and it's not. But I mean, kids swear by it up and down. They were playing at a basketball court and a little gnome walked by, or something was there. And I had a, there was one story that I did look up that the house sitter was watching the baby, and the baby had always been talking or laughing. And when she would go into the room would be completely empty. And the baby was just talking. So she assumed an imaginary friend. But one time she did smell a specific odor and didn't know where it was coming from. And the baby pointed out to an area where she couldn't see it. So who's to say that the duende has some type, again, where adults can't see it, but kids can.
Yeah.
Something there to cover her from seeing it.
But what was the stench?
You would think it's something like dead.
Oh, so I thought you were going to go with the duende pooped on the floor.
Yeah, nope. That's not it.
And earlier when you were talking about the videos, I have YouTube duendes, and there are a lot of videos on YouTube, and you can't tell if they're CGI because the videos that are on there are from very low quality cell phones.
Yeah, and they're said to be as if they are fake wooden dolls. So with the Mayan research that I was looking at for their history, the background, if the duende was tired, he would fall asleep by a tree and turn into this red clay.
God, that's
so
crazy.
Someone would think it would be a Mayan relic, take it home, and then it would disappear from being put in home at the house.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. This is a lot of layers. Mm-hmm. A lot of layers.
Yeah.
I'm never, ever bringing a gnome to this house.
And I also had a story where one of my friends had told me they would sleep at night, and when they were sleeping, they'd feel their bed moving as if somebody was jumping on the bed, but it would be near their head and ear. When they would open their eyes, there's nothing there, but they did feel the movement of the bed jumping up and down.
It was a cucaracha.
It could be. And then also, duendes were also known to cut toenails of unkept children. So if parents were not taking care of them, they do that at night. But sometimes, because they weren't experienced with clipping the toenails of young children, they would also clip their toes.
So what I was talking about earlier when I ended my story about my dad telling me about los niños chiquitos, he saw duendes.
No.
He has experienced duendes. And you know what else is messed up? Where he experienced them? He took me there.
See?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just I was in all these parts and didn't know how cursed it was.
Yes, a lot of Mexican relatives, they never say they have not heard of a story. They never say that, oh, it's not true. It's always like, well, did you hear about this? Or my cousin told me this about the duendes.
Yeah.
It was more of a confirmation than anything.
I remember the first time I ever heard about duendes was when we were all together. I think we all heard that duendes story together. Do you mm-hmm. remember that? It was a sleepover at your mom's house when she used to live in those apartments.
Yeah.
And I remember her telling me the story because I remember there was like a little witch.
Yeah.
Thing. Do you remember the little witch? It's like a little steel decoration that was on the floor.
Oh, yes.
You remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
They tried to scare us with that, saying it was a duende. Yeah.
If you didn't behave, the duendes weren't going to come out for you. So always listen to your mom. It's always listen to your parents. It was never like, oh, well, you know, you can go play with the duendes.
And this is why we have this podcast, because I've never, ever told my kids that something scary would happen to them if they don't listen to me.
No, I feel like now in today's world, most of the stories that were told to us that feared, that scared the living hell out of us.
But when you're listening to one of these stories from a relative, you will not sleep at night.
I feel like it builds momentum of you like, oh my God, they're going to come and grab my feet or pull me off mm-hmm, the bed
mm-hmm, yeah.
or braid my hair to the headboard if I don't behave or listen to my mom.
That's so creepy. Or like La Llorona, if you hear some lady crying by a river, you're hauling ass home. I would be running so fast yeah. in the opposite direction. Mm-hmm. No, thank you.
This wraps up this episode.
Make sure to follow us on Instagram at Las Brujas Podcast and on Twitter at Brujas Podcast. We would love to hear from you.
Any feedback, suggestions, or personal testimonials that confirm these stories? We would love to read them.
A question for you. What do you believe?
Until next time, thank you for listening.